Blog
Hello?
Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Yep. Welcome to Spiritual Perceptions, and our topic today is Troubled Minds, Part 2, and we have Julie with us again today, and I want to say that she's going to be talking and answering questions on psychological issues in general. She will not be providing and or opinions presented on this radio show, Spiritual Perceptions, by me, the host, Janet Thornburg, or others that are affiliated with and are not of the opinion of our guest speaker, Julie Johnson. And today, Julie, I'd just like to run a couple of things by you. A little statistic here. The Anxiety and Depression Association of America estimates that there are 40 million Americans suffering from anxiety disorders. So you see, your expertise is greatly needed. And recently, across the United States of America, 10,000 men were given a survey and questioned about anger. 95% claimed they had anger issues. And anger seems to be the root problems of what we're looking at today on TV, all the violence and everything. So we really appreciate your time, Julie, and I know that you will be blessed doing this. Another thing, 90% of our doctors, our medical doctors, believe the root to most diseases is bitterness and anger. So, you know, I think we need to get healthy and find the resources available to us. So we have some callers.
And that
what do you think
sense
about that?
Too, when you talk about anger, because, you know, anger is usually a much easier emotion to express versus, you know, showing somebody that you're very depressed or that you're anxious or that you're worried or scared. Usually people, you know, the anger will come out first. You know, but it's usually, you know, kind of covering up, you know, these other feelings that you discuss, like depression, anxiety. Anger is a very normal emotion. We all experience anger. It's usually how you express it that can make it unhealthy, meaning, you know, telling somebody that you're upset or and angry with them is healthy. But when you're angry, if you punch a wall or, you know, cuss and scream and, you know, kind of abusive to others, you know, that's an unhealthy way to express anger.
Yes. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of that today, and angry people that, you know, all these things that are going on with police officers and the news with ISIS and Al-Qaeda. But, you know, we need to understand about stress, too. Stress is such a silent killer. And I think we need to at least manage it. I think we should eliminate it, but we got to at least manage it first. But it looks like we have some callers here, so let's take this first call. Okay.
Okay.
You want to go outside?
Hi. Hi. Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
You have a question or? Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. I guess I'm on.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. I have a situation that I had raised my daughter by myself when she was 6, and she's now going to be 39 this year. And I raised her in a good home. I raised her everything right. And she turned out and wanted to be with this guy at 18 who was abusive. And she continues to do that now that she's 38, be with abusive men. Well, this last man that she's with, I've got 4 grandchildren. They're abusing the oldest one. And I've called CPS, I've called the sheriff's department, I've called school psychologists, I've talked to my psychologist, I've talked to my doctor. I'm going through a lot of stress and anxiety. I'm a student. I can't concentrate. I mean, it's just nobody's doing anything because the 12-year-old boy is doing everything in the house. And she sits down and lets the boyfriend abuse him. He watches the kids. He does the dishes, cleans the house. They don't let them go to sleep till 3 in the morning, get them up at 7 just because they feel like it. You know, it's just, I'm worried for the kids. I'm doing all the right things. If you know anything else that I can do, I'm going to be getting to my doctor some counseling, you know, and I don't know what else can I do.
Well, I think the most important thing is, you know, the safety of the children. And have you called your local child protective services in your area?
I called ICE. And they see everything's okay because the boys are involved.
Yeah, calling the police is different than calling the child protective services. That's like the Department of Children and Family Services. That's what they do is, you know, investigate allegations of abuse. Do your grandchildren
have a counselor or a therapist?
No, because my daughter the boyfriend is telling my grandson, if you tell anybody that I'm abusing you, I'll have you killed if I go to jail. So at 12 years old, he's thinking he's going to go to jail. He's not talking. She won't let me see him. It's been 7 weeks. And I'm worried for his safety, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's sick. I took him to the hospital in February, and he has abdominal pain, and he's throwing up, and he's got headaches. And the doctor in the hospital said, take him to a doctor. Take him to a GI doctor. She's not doing it. He's getting sick in school, and now she told him, don't call the nurse anymore. So nobody's taking care of that. And I don't know.
I'm sick, baby.
I mean, what state are you in?
Florida.
Okay. Yeah, usually every state has like a child abuse hotline. And, most people are, you know, mandated reporters, you know, like doctors and counselors and teachers at school. But you could also just call and, you know, it would really be up to them to investigate. And then, you know, if they feel like there's something going on, they would either, you know, provide services or something.
I think that's a real good idea, because the hotlines, they have more connection. They have a lot of connections to resources. I used to work one, and that's really a very good idea.
Okay.
Yeah,
thank you.
That would be kind of the best, you know, the best thing. It's you know, that's kind of sometimes the dynamic of abuse is they, you know, get, you know, the victim to be, you know, silent and kind of protect them in some way. And, I mean, you've called the police. I would suggest, you know, call your local child abuse hotline. If he had a therapist, I was going to say maybe talk to the therapist.
School psychiatrist, and what she could do is tell him that if he wants to come to her office and talk to her, her door is open. She didn't mention anything more than that. That's it.
With confidentiality, they can't really say much, but they could always listen.
Right.
So you could always call the psychiatrist and say whatever you have to say, and they would listen. But they legally, they can't divulge any information to you without a signed release.
Well, she took me off as emergency contact now, and she put the abuser as the emergency contact. So I wrote a letter to the principal of the school, and I told him, you need abuse awareness in your school because you have someone right under your nose. The teacher is calling me because he asked the teacher to call me because he's acting out in class. He's failing his grades. He was an A student. He lost his appetite. He lost a lot of weight. I can see it in him. He's withdrawn in every picture that she shows on Facebook. Now she stopped showing pictures of him at all. You know,
and I think what's important too is for you to, you know, remain strong, and the best way for you to remain strong so you can be helpful to your grandchildren is, you know, you have to, you know, take care of yourself and make sure you, you know, get some rest.
I'm seeing my doctor. I have high blood pressure now. I never.
Yeah,
my
right.
Life.
And that's, I think what Janet was saying earlier was, you know, that it has to do with stress. When there's a lot of stress
mm-hmm.
on our body, you know, we begin to develop, you know, physical health problems.
Uh-huh.
High blood pressure,
yeah.
Diabetes, heart disease.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, that's really very good advice, and I can tell you that your grandson will be in the church's daily prayers, and just remain strong and take good care of yourself so that you can be ready for this. Okay?
Thank you so much. I enjoy you very much.
You're welcome. God bless you. Thank you for calling.
God bless you. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's see who else we got here. That's stressful. Hello, you're on the air. Hello?
It's still Julie here, but
I gotcha. Okay. This is a same area code. I'm having trouble here. It says you're live. Hello? Maybe we just have a listener. Okay, so let's try another one here. Hello, you're live.
No, actually, I don't mean to be live. I didn't. I'm just supposed to be listening.
Oh, okay.
Well, we'll let you listen, all right? Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's you. And let's try this one again from your area code. Hello, you're live. Hello? Well, okay, I guess somebody just wants to listen. So these are, I mean, that's really hard. You know, I'm grateful to my daughter today for making this possible. She has all the kids, including my disabled daughter. And she went through, was taking care of them, and everybody thought that she would be really angry at me, but she's been going to anger management, and she realizes that actually that I rescued her kids. But when you're under the influence of something, they're like altered or something. You know, they're not the same people. And I know that.
Yeah, and you know, as we were talking earlier kind of about healthy and unhealthy ways to express anger, you know, when people are not allowed to or they decide not to kind of get their anger out and express it, you know, it turns into resentment. It turns into bitterness. It turns into rage. And that, you know, is probably, you know, when you see, you know, these shootings and you know, all this violence that we see in society.
Yeah, it's really sad. And it's nothing like it used to be, traveling or anything else. Looks like we have another caller here. Let's try this one. Hello? You're on the air.
Are you still talking to me?
Okay, I'm sorry. You had a little question mark up here, so I thought it was somebody else. Thank you.
No. Okay.
Guess we didn't have a caller. So it is very difficult, and a lot of people are running on fear. You know, you turn on the television, and there's all the violence we see, and then all the different political things that talking bad about each other, and it's like, well, who do we believe out here? You know, but you gotta be positive and trust in yourself. Yeah.
And so, where did it's kind of interesting when you were talking about the statistics. Where did you find those numbers?
Okay.
I found.
Hang on. The Anxiety and Depression Association of America.
Okay.
I got that one through the church, and the others I got online.
Okay.
So it's interesting.
And it's usually easier for men to, they would sooner express anger than, you know, again, like feelings of rejection or hurt or fear.
because men, you know, are conditioned in, you know, to, you know, be strong and, you know, be assertive and be aggressive, you know, kind of hold the weight on your, you know, weight of the world on your shoulders, where women are conditioned to kind of be more, you know, passive. And not to say that this is, you know, the appropriate thing to do, but it's just kind of, you know, how society conditions men and women. And so women...
Oh, I thought it was interesting,
kind of
that statistic that they did 10,000 men across the United States. 95% claimed that they had anger issues. And, you know, you wonder about that 5%. Were any of them in denial or just didn't want to talk about it? And I feel like that anything that you deny, you know, it's going to remain a problem. You know, it's like, who do we trust to talk to? Well, before I was ever ordained, I was required to go through psychoanalysis, and it was easy. I look forward to talking to the therapist. I felt protected. I felt like I could, you know, say anything and not hold on to anything. You know, I think admitting something is 50% of the battle.
Well, and I think that's part of, you know, denial is like a coping skill sometimes when something is so painful or, you know, just something that people just aren't ready to look at. You know, they can, you know, start to go into a state of denial. But therapy, I think, helps with kind of addressing that coping skill of denial and then, you know, bring about awareness and to where they can kind of process appropriately, you know, what's really going on.
Yeah, and that's
awareness,
and
I think,
we're just grateful to. We're grateful to people like you that do your work, and it, you know, I mean, and it's probably not an easy thing. And with ministers, too, we listen to people's problems all day long. I use yoga as an outlet.
Oh, yoga is very, very,
it's pretty, has a lot of evidence-based, you know, in working with not only trauma, but also with, you know, relieving stress. You know, people can meditate at least, you know, once a day. It only takes a couple of minutes. You know, you can really kind of relieve your stress.
Yeah. Do we have another caller here?
Hello,
you're on the air.
Hey. Hi, it's Vicki. How are you?
Fine. You have a question for Julie?
Hi. No,
hi,
I'm
Vicki.
Hi, Julie. How are you?
Okay, how are you?
I'm okay. I just want to let you know your phone connection is really bad, and I can barely hear you. I hear a lot of feedback
here
in the background, okay. And you sound really muffled.
The host?
Like the whole thing?
Is
it the whole thing, both of us?
Yeah.
Or
no, it's just her.
Okay. All right, I'll see if I can clear that a little bit. Do you have a question at all?
Well, I guess I could ask something.
Okay.
It's behavior. This is regarding men. You know, I'm just baffled by certain types of behavior with men and why they become evasive. Not because they don't, you know, like you or anything. It's just that they disappear. They'll come in and then they'll disappear. They'll come in and then they'll disappear. You know, what is that about? It's to say, this is one person. But I don't understand that type of behavior, especially if a person claims to care about you and love you, but then they just disappear and then they come back like nothing happened. And then they get angry when you want to know why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's hard. I can't really answer as to why he's doing something. You know, I don't really know who he is, and I can't really, you know, kind of diagnose or assess, you know, from a couple of minute conversation. But I can say in general, and this is just kind of with regards to behaviors, we all, as humans, you know, when we do things, we either get reinforced, which will continue that behavior, or we, you know, we, there's some kind of consequence which will stop us from doing that behavior. And it can be a natural consequence, meaning just kind of, you know, things around us that just kind of naturally happen. Or, you know, it's other people in our lives that either reinforce something or, you know, create a consequence, like a negative consequence, so therefore it extinguishes the behavior. So that's kind of a general thing. I mean, there might be something that's reinforcing that behavior. There might be something where he feels like there's no consequence. So, you know what I mean? It's kind of like when
like with your kids, they do something wrong, you know, you might, you know, give them a consequence, you know, take something away or, you know, whatever. And then when they do something positive, you would reward them with, oh, I'm going to give you extra allowance or whatever that is. And, then, you know, because you want that behavior to continue. So that's kind of a general answer about behaviors in general. I can't really be specific about this person because I don't know who that is. And
right, I understand. And I'm trying to make it very general as to why people do certain or have certain types of behavior. And that's one, particularly with people, maybe they're afraid of commitment. I don't know. But it's for me, it's getting old. And
does that make sense about the with the behavior reinforcement and, you know, consequences type of thing?
Well, Vicki, I can say to you, my father used to do that. And me being an intuitive, I would get up in the morning and look at my mother and say, Daddy's leaving today. And sure enough, he'd leave. And I'd say when he was coming home. But we found out later in life that it was an addiction. It was an addiction to gambling. And he would go off and gamble and gamble and gamble until he was worn out and then come back home.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know, you know.
But you know, mom did that. My mom would do that too. It just dawned on me that she would do that.
And it leaves us feeling abandoned, right? But you know, you just have to understand human behavior sometimes.
You know, it sounds like like in the situation you were saying with, he would leave because, you know, there was some kind of gambling addiction. That was what was reinforcing that leaving behavior, you know, because there was something positive that they viewed as a reason to leave. The gambling was very rewarding to them, reinforcing.
It's a negative. I don't want to deal with it. To me, it's just not normal, you know, unless there's an underlying issue that I know nothing about. So for me, it's not normal, and I need to cut it. I need to, in other words, cut off the blood supply, because that's the only way this is, you know, you get tired of that. And I think for me as a person, it's probably what I'm attracting. You know, or stemmed from childhood for me. So hopefully, you know, I can really nip this in this type of behavior and this and these kinds of people from coming to me, you know, and just work on that energy.
Yeah,
and the church will keep you in prayer.
As you start to, you know, as people start to look at themselves and make changes in themselves, you start to attract different types of people. So that, you know, that's a very positive, you know, way to kind of look at it. It's just kind of, you're going to work on yourself.
Yeah. Yep. And change that energy.
Okay, well, thank you for calling, Vicki.
Okay, well, I hope you guys can get the connection better.
You sound really clear to me, but I know sometimes Janet sounds a little muffled to me, but.
Okay. I think she's on a landline.
I'm on a landline. I'll try and clear this. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Okay. I checked on the audio here, and I can hear like an echo back behind me.
Oh. Really?
Yeah, but I'm not sure what's going on. It's on my end, actually. I don't think it's on your end. So.
Yeah, I would hate that because I just got a brand new phone. You know, I would hate to think that this new phone is, you know, already got issues.
So, and I'm sure, you know, it's difficult, like I said, listening to people's problems, but it's very rewarding what you do. And we sure appreciate you coming on and sharing your talent with us. And I think that especially now, you know, the way everything is moving so quickly, and I talked to a young girl the other day who has been getting her degree in teaching, and she went to teach, and she said it's so political, she can't deal with it.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think everywhere you go, there's, you know, politics. You know, office politics.
And all those things.
Do you have any more callers? Or?
No,
see, now, like right now, you're really, really
And I sent out, a lot of notification on this, a lot of notifications. But and I think people are afraid. You know, they're afraid to maybe talk over the radio because you don't know who's listening. But we don't identify anyone unless you identify themselves.
Right.
But, yeah, so I don't know.
That's one of the things about being on the phone. Nobody can see you, and you can pretty much say anything you need to, you know, any.
You could, you know, remain very anonymous.
Uh-huh, and that's the whole idea. I'm going to try this call again here. It's coming in with a question mark, either that or let's see if this is. Hello, you're live
on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can hear you fine. Oh, my goodness. I didn't know to hit *6#, *69. Oh, my goodness. I was trying to get through.
Well, we finally got you.
Thank you for your patience. I said, oh, my God, you cannot hang up before I get through here. Well, I have a situation. Well, I just would like some guidance on. I grew up with an abandoned father. And my mother was mentally and physically abusive to myself and to my oldest sister. Now, I'm one out of five siblings, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I have an issue with, when you spoke about denial, that hit home for me because I believe my mother is truly in denial over the fact that she makes excuses of why she did the things that she did in order to compensate for that behavior. Because she, too, grew up with an abandoned father, and her mother died when giving birth to her. So she was raised by aunts and uncles who I believe abused her. At least this is what she has expressed to me. So this emotional pattern of behavior that she grew up with has now extended to her children. And I believe the relationship that I have with my sisters is a result of that behavior. How do I accept the fact that my mother remains in denial of this, even after I try to express to her she's in denial of this? And she basically says she leaves it up to God. And I basically told her maybe God is asking you in this lifetime to try to heal some of those childhood emotional issues, and she refuses to do that. I mean, she blames my oldest sister for doing things that basically called her out on the carpet of some of her deception. And she can't forgive my oldest sister. I am working through my own issues with my mother, one, in trying to accept the fact that she's in denial, working with resentment issues for her because she made me a mini mom before my time. So, you know, what kind of advice can you give me to help me with this?
Well, I think what I had said earlier was denial is, you know, is like a defense mechanism that, you know, we use sometimes when something is very painful or just something that we just don't want to deal with. And it's a protective factor in a way. And until somebody is really ready to look at something, you know, it's really hard to kind of break down that denial.
So then I just need to just let this go. I need to, I can't have a relationship with my mother that, it's shallow. I feel it's shallow. And two, it's just based on so much, guilt and abuse of the past. I see it so clearly. So I feel as though I have to let her go. And it's almost like I feel as though I have to let her go and let her come off. But I know she won't accept it, or she struggles with accepting me because she seeks affection from me. At least that's what I found out previously.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, we just have to learn to kind of just let go and let it be. And, you know, things happen in its own time, and maybe at some point when your mom, you know, develops other types of coping skills, she might be able to let go of some of that denial and, you know, kind of see, you know, what's going on. But there's not really anything you can do to kind of get her to no longer deny something.
Well, now we're in a situation where my younger sister
could obviously go into therapy, and you know, and that, you know, in therapy, you know, you can kind of work at, you know, removing the defenses and, you know, learning new ways of coping. But, you know, without that, I mean, you know, it's a protective factor. Something must be very painful for her that she's not ready to really deal with.
Yeah, and I'm pretty much sure that how she grew up was devastating. I mean, traumatizing for her. To the point she raised her children in that same way, and I see the patterns of behaviors within my siblings that have now reflected the way she was raised and the way we were raised.
Uh-huh.
And so it's just like this vicious generational curse, except with me and my son, because I knew at a very early age what I was going through. And that kind of pain, I could not see me passing on to my children. So my son grew up very different. And I know I seem like the an outcast in my family because they can't understand why I don't contribute to their way of being. And so I have a younger sister who basically has lashed out at me, claiming that, you know, I am the one that has rejected her. And, you know, everything she blames me for, she herself has done, but she seeks affection from me and is unwilling to do the things I feel she could do for herself by reaching out to me, she refuses to do. She waits for me to do it, just like my mother waits for me to do it. And if I don't do it, I get blamed for not keeping in contact with them. Does that make any sense? Am I making any sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. And, you know, and sometimes we just have to kind of just take a step back and think about, you know, in this whatever situation you're in, what are things that you can control and what are things that you cannot? And the things that you cannot control is what you have to let go of. So, in other words, you can control your own thoughts, feelings, behaviors, what you choose to say or do, but you can't really control how somebody else is going to act or what they're going to say or what they're going to do, you know, and sometimes you just have to realize, you know, you might have a sister that's calling you and blaming you, and you can't control that, like she's just going to do that, but maybe you can maybe think about, well, what can I do to kind of control my part, you know, for my part in the situation? You know, like you might decide, you know, I'm not going to talk to my sister when she starts to talk to me that way. I'm going to end the conversation. Or I'm going to do this. Or I'm, you know, like that kind of thing. Because you can't really control what somebody else is going to say or do.
Sure.
Does that make
sure.
sense?
Sure. Yes. That is true.
Yeah. Well, we certainly keep this whole situation in prayer. And you know, you have to realize that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can't change anyone. We can only change ourselves. And you certainly have a right to set up your barriers and, you know, I'm not going to engage in this behavior.
But the saddest of all things is that we have children now who, even though the symptoms are slightly different, the outcome is still the same because they're growing up now not knowing their cousins, you know, because the siblings, the parents can't find a way to connect with one another and move beyond the pain, the resentment, the past, you know, the abandonment issues that wasn't caused by any of us, you know, none of us.
Have you guys ever thought about maybe getting family therapy where you guys can all just, you know, in a room and kind of hash out what's going on?
I can try that, but I pretty much, I can say the only one that would show up would be me. I've been going through, you know, I've seen maybe about one or two therapists myself on the same issues. I have mentioned it to my family, and I have an older sister who is currently going through AA, so she has her own counseling session going on currently, but, you know, maybe I could communicate to her that maybe we could have a conversation with you, you know, to take it a step further.
Right, yeah, like you could maybe, you know, see if she's open to, you know, to seeing a therapist. And, you know, family therapy does not always, you know, involve, you know, two parents and children. It could, you know, sometimes it's, you know, siblings, you know, that want to go in for family therapy. So,
yeah,
would be something, maybe to ask her, and then that might be a way you guys can kind of hash out some of these things.
Yeah, because I think she and I suffered the most, but we're blamed the most on the other three siblings' issues they have with abandonment and basically witnessing abuse, you know. They don't know it, but I have observed them in their own way of raising their children to the fact that I see the neglect they give to their children. They just don't know it, you know. And I just see the what I call the generational curse, the vicious cycle repeating itself over and over again. So yes, I will see if my sister is open to therapy.
with,
and you know, and that's very true about abuse and violence and stuff, domestic violence, and you know, being very intergenerational.
Yeah.
You know, it is sometimes passed down from generation to generation.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, thank you very much, and I think you have a few ideas of what to do, and like I said, we will definitely keep you in prayer at the church, okay?
Thank you so much. Thank you both. I appreciate you.
Bye. Okay.
Hi. We have a lot of listeners.
No, we have a lot of listeners, but not too many callers. So that was really good advice that you gave her. And the audio's better. I can tell from the computer. So what I did. Yeah, I think I fixed it. But anyway, it was a very, very good advice you gave her. And, you know, we all have issues. I mean, it's just part of being human.
Well, I mean, everybody, you know, you ask what is a normal. I mean, is there really such a thing as normal? You know, I think everybody has their own perception of what normal is, but is there really a normal?
I don't have a definition for it.
Yeah, you know. I mean, you know, people say, the Brady Bunch. I mean, that's, I don't think anybody has a Brady Bunch family, you know.
No. Well, would you like to do this again at some point, Julie?
Yeah, that would be fine.
Okay, well, I'm probably going to close out. We don't have anybody on the switchboard, and people can listen in the archives. But would you like to give out your contact information, your website, so they know, people that are listening will know how to contact you? You do have quite a few in your area code that are listening, okay?
Oh, okay. My website address is www.juliejohnsonlcpc.com. And, you know, that would, if you go to my website, that would not only tell you a little bit about me and my practice and, you know, make you feel, you know, familiar with who I am and what I do. It also gives you my contact information, my address, my phone number, email address and everything. So if you just go to juliejohnsonlcpc.com, you should be able to get everything you need.
Yeah. And, Julie, I want to thank you so much for your time.
No problem.
Sharing your expertise with us. And we pray that you be blessed.
Yeah, and,
I'll be in contact. Yeah, I'll be in contact, and we'll do this again. And I think, you know, in some of my emails, I tell people not to be shy, but fear is a crippling spirit, and it just freezes people up. But maybe the more we do this, maybe more we can help somebody else. And I think you
Well, sometimes just listening, you know, might be helping them.
That's
you know, just too. Hearing and listening might be very helpful for them.
That's true too.
That's true.
But I thank you for your time, and I'll be in touch with you. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Alrighty.
God bless. All right. Well, I want to pray. Father God, I come to you, and I praise you for each and every person that called and listening to those difficult problems. I pray for your Holy Spirit to touch and guide, and we praise you for the gift of your Son Jesus, and we praise you for his precious blood, and I plead the blood over everybody's situation today, including my own, and I pray that you will give Julie a special blessing in her life and in her practice. And we thank you for everybody that's listening and everybody that called, in Jesus' name. So I thank everyone that called in and listened, and I hope somehow, in some way, it helped you. That's the purpose of this show.
is to I donate my time as tithing and giving of my talent freely to try to help everybody that's on the spiritual path. And we certainly appreciate Julie's time and her expertise and what she gives to us too. So I'll notify everybody again when there'll be another show. And my contact information is at keen.com, Daisy, D-A-I-S-E-Y, 644478. Or you can reach me on Facebook at Janet Thornburg. So God bless everybody, and thank you for listening and calling in. Good evening.